Redeem your Ladbrokes on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladis Faction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladis Faction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock.
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get Ladbrokes.
Kelly Brook is Betway's casino ambassador, and for all new customers, stake £10 and get 150 free spins. Download the Betway casino app today. 18 plus T's and C's apply. Bet the responsible way. Gambleaware.org.
How you doing, Met fans, and welcome to a special off-season episode of the Terry Collins Show. Although our show is on hiatus until spring training, we're here to share with you a pretty cool interview with one of the Mets' off-season acquisitions, signed as a free agent, Bo Bichette. I'm John Arezzi. Before we get to Bo Bichette, we have to congratulate the newest member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, former Met player and now front office executive Carlos Beltran, who got the call this week, making him a member of the 2026 Hall of Fame class, which will also include Andrew Jones and another former Met, Jeff Kent. Our own Terry Collins recorded this message on the Beltran Hall of Fame induction, so why don't we play that right now?
Congratulations, Carlos, on being elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. You certainly are deserving. You know, when you put on a uniform, every little kid dreams of one day getting a chance to get to the Hall of Fame. And you've achieved that. Your career speaks for itself, as all of your numbers dictate. But the thing that stands out most to me is your respect for the game, how you played the game, your respect for your teammates, your respect for the opponents, your respect for the fans that watched you play. Those are the things that I think set you apart. Again, congratulations. I know your family is so very, very proud of you, as we all are. You know, it's an honor to think I had a chance to be a part of your career and watch you play. Again, congratulations, pal. I'm honored to call you a friend and can't wait to see you being inducted.
So Carlos Beltran joins the Hall of Fame and he becomes the third Mets player, Tom Seaver and Mike Piazza, the others, who will go into the hall wearing a Mets cap when he's inducted later this year. And Beltran will also be honored and inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame this season. And don't be surprised if the organization retires his number 15 at that ceremony. But let's go to Bo Bichette. The now former Toronto Blue Jays star shortstop joins the Mets to play third base this season and will be a welcome addition to the 2026 team after the losses of Brandon Nimmo, Edwin Diaz, Jeff McNeil, and the biggest departure of all, Pete Alonso. The Mets signed Bo Bichette to a three-year, $126 million contract with opt-outs for the player after seasons one and two. Before starting the Terry Collins Show, I co-hosted another baseball podcast for a couple seasons with the former Mets bench coach, a member of the 1986 World Championship team, a longtime coach, and of course, the two-time former manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons, who's now the bench coach of the California Angels. So I got to know Bo through Gibby, and we got to interview him on the Gibby Show back then. After the Mets signed Bo, I went back and I watched that interview on the Gibby Show's YouTube channel. It was a great conversation, not like your typical interview where baseball reporters just ask standard questions. It was really conversational, and it was really insightful to get to know the person that Bo Bichette is and what he now brings to the New York Mets. So I decided to pull that video and play it in this special Get to Know Bo episode. You'll learn a lot from that conversation. So let's get to know Bo, courtesy of the Gibby Show archives.
Getting instant insights is amazing, but if there are too many data points, it can be hard to see what works. So I'll ask my AI assistant for recommendations. And with PDF spaces in Acrobat Studio, it's easy to remix documents and transform insights into standout content. So you can go from idea to creation in record time, all within an AI-powered workflow. Do that with Acrobat. Learn more and try it out on Adobe.com.
And now it's time for another Gabbing with Gibby segment, and John has done it again. This week, we welcome the starting shortstop for the Toronto Blue Jays and one of the premier infielders and premier stars in all of Major League Baseball, Mr. Bo Bichette. Bo, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, guys. How you doing?
Great to have you.
Hey, you look good, man. You know what? Hey, I was mentioning to you earlier, it's unbelievable you guys – because when I talked to you about getting on the show, we had to line up the time because you guys are working out. I'm going, working out, for crying out loud. It's not even January yet. But that's what you guys do. At least that's what you really good ones do. Now, I mean, it's like do you take some time off after the season? Or you're just so ingrained, you're such a habit now, and it's so, you know, it's so productive what you're playing. You just pick it up right. There's really no dead time, is there?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think it's important to pay attention to how your body feels and how your mind feels too. So, yeah, I mean, you take some time off, but at the same time, you want to take advantage of the 4 months we have off. So as soon as you feel ready, then I like to get after it.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, you're doing something right. You know, I was checking out your numbers. You know, I knew what they were, but I was checking for a young player in the game. That's what have you been in there about? Two and a half years, maybe.
I mean, I've been around for four now, but I would say two.
Kind of full steady time. Yeah, steady day time. I tell you, you've got some incredible numbers for a new player. It's just come onto the scene in baseball. Usually, you know, I'm talking about guys that extreme talent to go on to have great careers. They get out, some of them get off the so-so starts, and eventually it all comes together. You from day one. You were a big time performer in this game, and that's not easy to do. You come from a baseball family, and that's no guarantee either. That's not easy to do either. You know, your dad was a great player, and there's added pressures and things like that. But I don't think people necessarily realize just how good you've been at the beginning of your major league career.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big part of getting off the start I've gotten off to is, for sure, my dad. I've been just kind of taught what I'm going to go through since I was a young kid. Taught to just go out there and compete no matter how you feel. And, you know, I'm definitely still learning. There's a lot more room to grow for sure on every part of the ball, base running, defense, hitting. So, you know, I just look forward to continue to learn.
Yeah, were you I don't think there's a better hitting, more productive offensive hit shortstop in the game of baseball. I mean, not even close, man. I was lucky. I'm not just a huge fan of yours. I wonder, you know, we had Manoa on here. We had Romano. I keep saying I want to be somebody's agent, you know, and nobody's taking me up on it yet. Do you need an agent yet, brother? I'm ready to be your agent, man. No, but it's
might be a pretty good one, though. I'll tell you that.
Hey, Bo, I mean, didn't you, when you broke in, didn't you like break Ted Williams' record for most consecutive games hitting a double? And, you know, it wasn't 11, 12 consecutive games right out of the box that you just. And the last one that did that was Ted Williams in 1939.
Yeah, I think it started in my second game. It was I can't remember how many games in a row it was, but it was a certain amount of games with doubles. So yeah, like for me, like I normally don't, I like to just kind of stay in the present and look forward, but that one was big for me because I basically learned hitting from Ted Williams. I mean, that's who my dad's hero was, the science of hitting. You know, so like my dad taught me a lot based off of that. So when I start hearing my name around Ted Williams, like that was something I was like, okay, all right, I did something here.
Hey, I bought that book, man. I read that book about 10 times and I hit about $1.80. So, hey, so there's more to it than that. But, you know, I tell you, when you start getting mentioned with guys like Ted Williams, you know, Johnny, that's
amazing. Yeah. You know? I mean, what an accomplishment just breaking into the game. I mean, that was a record that stood since 1939. I mean, and Ted Williams, of course. It just showed everybody out there, you know, that you came in and you just made an impact and you're still making an impact to this day. It's incredible what you've accomplished in just a short period of time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, do you remember about what year was it? It might have been 18. Might have been my last year. You know, we'd bring you guys over to spring training, you know, the end of spring training, play some games. I think it was 18. Was that your first year you came over there? Do you remember?
It would have been 18. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we brought you and Vladdy Jr. over in Beige. I don't know if Beige came. Anyway, it was like it wasn't your typical game where you put your young guys in like the last couple innings. You know, you guys started the game. I think we were down there in Pittsburgh. You might have hit a home run that night, but I'm thinking because I knew it was my last year. I was on my way out there. You know, that was just kind of everybody knew that was coming. And I can remember sitting there going, damn, man, I didn't need to try to figure out. We better win some games this year. Maybe I can somehow hang around a little bit longer. Look at these guys that are getting to the big leagues, man. You know, I'm saying I'm going to miss out, you know, because, you know, we had a couple good years in 15 and 16. And then we just, you know, it was a breakdown, the overhaul of the team, the rebuild. And they were kind of grooming it for all you guys, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going, hey, you know, that's going to be a special group. It might take a couple of years, which you did. But it's a good group. You know, when I watch you guys play, there's something special about your group. You know, you get along. I think a lot of it has to do, you know, a lot of you came up in the minor leagues together, so you know each other. You won down there. But describe your team a little bit, you know, because it's not all teams are like that. You know, you know how that is, but there's something unique about this group. I think that's a feel I get.
Yeah, no, I mean, we definitely get along. You know, when you come to the minor leagues together, you really go through the grind together. So you see a lot of ups and downs from each other, you know, individually as a team also, but personal stuff, everything, you know. So, I mean, you just kind of get to know each other. You've seen the lows, you've seen the highs. And I think that just obviously in any relationship that makes everybody closer. And, you know, we have so much work to do still, so much to learn, just like I said for myself. But yeah, I mean, I like where we're heading and you know, I think that what we've gone through, I mean, we didn't really play together in 19 much. 20 was obviously a weird year and kind of feel like last year was our first year and then this year our second, and we've continued to grow. And, you know, I think now the kind of days of being the young kids are over and it's time to figure it out. But yeah, I mean, I love being around those guys every day. They make it easy to come to the field for sure.
And when you're still a young kid, you can't take that away. I mean, you might be playing another 15, 20 years. You don't know, but that's what's so impressive about this group, the experience level and what you guys have accomplished at a young age. That's not easy to do. And it's definitely not easy to do in the American League East. Still the toughest division in baseball. I don't care whether at the end, when somebody wins a World Series or from the East or not, to run that gauntlet for 162 games. The other divisions just can't compare. They can't do it, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think, you know, Boston had a down year, but going into Fenway is not easy. You know, all those places are tough to play and best player in the division, I think. And so, yeah, it's definitely a grind.
Hey, John, a question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. A question for you. I mean, because you were talking about back when you first got a chance to see Bo play and you were on your way out, as you said, and Bo was coming up and coming. Did you see that it factor, that special quality, that talent when you first observed Bo playing? And Bo, I'd like to get a question for you on your first experiences with John and, you know, obviously his credentials as a manager back in the day. So kind of tell us, you know, what that relationship was like, even though it couldn't have been that deep. It certainly exists today. So, John, you first, and then Bo, your opinions of John back then.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you know, we brought Bo over there in that spring training. You know, you hear about when you're the manager at the big league level. I mean, you're in tune with what's going on at the different levels, and you know when a certain player gets drafted or signed as a free agent or something like that. In the organization is really, really likes him, really high on him, and they're playing well. They're always coming around telling you how good this guy's doing. So I knew all about Bo, you know. So I'd kind of keep an eye on him and Vladdy Jr. and all that whole group, you know, because you're the manager and you're looking down the road a little bit too, right? And so I'd always heard what a good player he was. You know, he's got, you know, he's extremely talented. But everybody always would say, you know, he's got something different about him, you know, and every player in the major league doesn't have that. You know, there's guys that are just, you know, the elite players, they have something different about them, you know, and he had that. And a big part of it is confidence. There's no doubt about it. He's got a ton of talent, but everybody in the big leagues got a talent. You know, everybody in the minor leagues has talent. You know, there's guys that throw harder in the minor leagues, never get to the big leagues. There's guys that, you know, there's something different about big league players and great big league players. And there's a difference. A lot of it's up here. A lot of it's right there inside. And you can tell Bo had it just by the way he carried himself. Now he grew up around the game with his father, but that's, like I said, that's no guarantee. So he kind of knew what to expect, but still it brings added pressure too. It's not like, you know, well, my dad was a great player, so it's going to be easy for me. No, because he's carrying the weight of his father, just like Vladdy Jr. and Biggio and some of the other guys in the league. And that's never easy, but you could tell, you know, this kid's different. This kid's going to make it. Did I realize he was going to be this good so fast? No, I don't think anybody could tell you that and be truthful, but they knew eventually he was, and they knew he was good. But, you know, he just carried himself different, and he was a pleasure. You could tell just to listen to how humble he is. But crying out loud, would you start bragging about yourself a little bit?
Yeah. For me with Gibby, obviously, like you said, it wasn't that much, but, I do remember one thing pretty vividly. I played – so he's the home run he's talking about was my second spring training game. The first one, he didn't start me. But
Hey, that's why I got fired, man. I wasn't very smart. There it is.
No, I get it. I hit a – I capped the ball to the pitcher. And obviously, I mean, I prided myself playing hard. But, of course, my first spring training game, I'm going to – run as hard as I can, no matter what I hit, you know. So hit a little cap to the pitcher, and I took off, went to first base. And, you know, like, I mean, I get it. It's baseball. I'm not going to hit a homer every time, but I wanted to hit a homer. And so I'm coming back to the dugout, and I'm kind of mad. And Gibby just told me, hey, man, way to run. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, okay, I did something, you know. And it's not all about the performance and the result, you know. It's someone saw something, and I appreciated that.
Like Pete Rose, man. Remember Pete, the all-time hit king? He busted his butt down there. Now, let's be – hey, you got to protect yourself a little bit too. I hope you're not hitting tappers in the mound and running your hardest time to first. Because, you know, and there's, you know, certain people play harder than others, but you got to be smart too now.
Yeah, I've learned that, you know, like, you know, I do my best to run as hard as I can every time. And
I'm teasing you.
No. I mean, yeah, I do it. But like playing 159 games 2 years in a row, it's like at the end of it, you know, it's there. Sometimes you can pace yourself a little bit for sure.
That brings up a good point, right? You played 152 and there's 160. It used to be a badge of honor. I mean, you can ask your dad. To try to play 162 games, right? Very few did it. I mean, things come up, the nagging injuries or whatever. But I don't understand nowadays, you know, some teams give like scheduled days off and things like that. And I get it, the body needs that. But I used to have a deal like with, you know, some of the, especially the veteran players or, you know, you're younger, you don't need the days off, you don't want days off, and people are coming to watch you play. But even with the older veteran players, let's say, hey, listen, if you're banged up, you need a break, stick your head in the office and hey, I could use a day or something like that. Or the trainers would come to you. But now it's like teams like scheduling. I'm going, well, this guy may be on a roll, man. He may be on like a hitting streak. You give him a day off because you screw up his streak, man. He starts thinking about it. He loses that mojo, whatever it is. It's like, I don't understand it, you know. And but you obviously they leave you off that chart because you play 159 and you score runs, you hit doubles, home run. You know, it's what's the deal, man? They overlooking you, not giving you days off or what?
I just haven't given them a chance. Yeah, I mean, you know, like that's just how I was raised, and I think it still is a badge of honor.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I always looked at it like, man, I'm struggling right now. I could take a day off, or I could just grind through it and probably learn something. So that's how I look at it, is the more games I play. Someone told me in the minor leagues, actually a teammate, Max Pentecost, actually. Yeah, it was my first time playing every day in double A. And I was like, man, I need a day. I was struggling. And he was like, nah, you don't need a day. The more at bats you get, the quicker you get out of it. And I was like, you know what? Like, that is so true. I'm take that to heart. And I've always taken that since.
Hey, well, Max, man, Max had the injury bug. Remember?
Yeah, the guy could hit.
Poor man. Guy. Good rake. So yeah. It was easy for him to say, hey, dude, don't take a day off, man. I've been getting all these damn days off because I'm trying to get on the field. But you're right. It's a mindset. You can gear yourself up for that. Plus, mm-hmm. Bo, when you're an elite player, fans pay to actually come watch you play. They come on. Vladdy, the star players. When I'm a kid, I tell my dad, he would take me to a game. I said, I want to go watch. You know, I lived down in Houston, you know. I like what Joe Morgan was playing, you know, and some of those guys, Jimmy Wynn. That's who I want to go see. And that's what they do. So you kind of owe it to them a little bit, but you got to be smart as well.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, you're either injured or you're hurt. There's difference, right? So I don't know. I look at it like, if I can go out there, I can play, I can do it. No matter if I'm struggling or not, I'll go out there. And you know, if you believe in yourself, you believe that you got a chance to help the team win that day, no matter what. If it's, could be 1-for-5 with 2 RBIs, and the baseball world might look at it like it's a bad day, but driving 2 runs and help the team win, you know, that's what it's about.
Exactly. Damn, man. Yeah, your dad, man. Your dad got to you, man. I love it.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Hey, Bo, were you named after Bo Jackson and Joe Girardi?
I was. Yeah, middle name Joseph, and obviously first name Bo, but yep.
Really? How Girardi? Your dad, were they teammates, your dad and him or something?
Yeah, they played together in Colorado. They became really good friends. And, I mean, I think there's stories of me crying at night and Joe taking me out for a ride, give my mom a break. But
yeah. I'll be darned, man. That is so cool. And Bo Jackson, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My dad's favorite athlete, so.
Okay.
He actually sent me a pair of shoes this year, which is pretty cool.
Hey, you know what? That is pretty cool. Yeah. Hey, were you a big tennis, Johnny? Were you saying he's a big tennis player? Were you a big tennis player too?
Yeah. From what I've been reading up about you, you are a tennis enthusiast, and there was also some talk that if you didn't get into baseball, that you'd want to be a tennis player. You were going to be a tennis player, and you still follow tennis pretty closely.
Oh yeah. I would say my favorite athlete is Rafa Nadal. Love watching him compete, and hopefully his career is not over too soon. That would be sad. But for me, I played growing up. My dad wanted me to play tennis. He didn't want me to play baseball. But when it kind of came down to it, my parents looked at me as like, hey, if you want to be the best at something, it was around high school. I think you need to dedicate, you know, your time to one of the two. And I just basically I decided that I didn't want to be at the tennis court running around for 5 hours, and I'd rather go to the cage. So that's how I mean.
If you become big time, somebody would pick up the balls for you, man. That dude run across the court and grab the ball. Hey, let me ask you though, when Nadal was your guy, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Before you served, were you like, you didn't pick at your butt before each time you threw the ball up, did you?
No, but I have. But if you watch me hit, like, I'll do the same thing every time, and I learned a lot of that from him. Just like watching, like, he would always do the thing with his hair, and I do that with my. and I do it on, you know, unconsciously, obviously, but yeah, I think a lot of that kind of stuff comes from him.
Hey, there's something to that. I guarantee, if you're doing it, he's doing it. There's something, Johnny. We got to do something for the show. Like, was it like something we could before each?
Yeah.
Okay. With the hair, man, where'd the hair go? Is the hair?
The hair.
I don't see any hair.
Yeah, there's so many stories about. I mean, it's kind of like your hair is legend out there. And was it you that said that you used a horse shampoo and conditioner? Or was that?
I went through a little phase where I was I went to CVS just because I never really. I still don't take care of my hair. It's just kind of kind of there. So, but I went through a phase where I went to CVS and I saw horse shampoo and I was like, horses got, they got good hair. So
it was called mane and tail shampoo.
Yeah, I was using that a couple of years ago just cause I saw it and I happened to give an interview right when I was in the middle of that. But now I just, I don't know. I just kind of use whatever.
You must, hey, did you get like five hits the next night and this, or that night and go, oh, they're, great hitters or something about, you know, everybody has their superstitions and they're compulsive and things like that. If you go out and have a big night and you wash your hair with horse soap or whatever, I guarantee you, you've been using it ever since, if you're smart.
Yeah, you know, actually, like for me with, I guess my superstition is not having superstitions. So, yeah, like if I go up there if I do something before an at bat, like, and I get a hit, I'll make sure that I don't do it again.
Really?
Yeah. Cause I just don't like getting caught up in anything. I feel like I need to do well. I just trust in myself, you know?
Well, here's the deal though. You're conscious of what you did to tell yourself you're not to do it.
No, I know. That's my, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that is fun. Yeah, that's awesome. You know what? Okay. Well, we got to get you a contract or help him get a promotion thing for
endorsement,
right? With that shampoo or like go all the way to CVS, even bigger, man.
Yeah,
they got big. CVS in Canada. I don't know if they have CVS in Canada. Maybe not. That is, oh man.
Like a Walgreens. I had a quick question. I mean, going into 2023, and obviously the Jays have made some moves in the outfield. There's going to be room for one or two guys to be brought in, free agents. Is there anybody on that list that's kind of a wish list that you'd like to play with? I mean, I can imagine you and Brandon Nimmo on the same team. I mean, with how hard he hustles and plays. But is there anything at this point that you say, you know, that would be a good guy to get for, you know, to replace one of the two outfielders they just lost?
You know, I think we'll take whoever wants to come over and help us win.
The passion.
Yeah, I mean, whoever wants to come over and wants to win a World Series is guys that, you know, we would love to have. So, I mean, no one in particular, but I know that there is some good guys out there, and if they want to come help us, we'll welcome them.
Well, you're a guy that also that kind of zoned in. I mean, I was going back looking at the draft when you were drafted in 2016 and you were picked 66 in the second round, and there's a lot of talk about you, you know, wanting to zone in on the Jays, and you did get drafted by them. And you know, there was kind of some reports out there that you were like even turning down some offers pre-draft or, you know, not wanting to go to a different team. And were you focused on the Blue Jays at that point when the draft was ready to happen? Or was that kind of one of your priority teams that you were hoping to be drafted by?
Yeah, I think it was more just you know, there was obviously with my parents and my brother had gone through the process, you know, you realize it's not just about getting drafted as high as you can. Like there is legitimately organizations who can help you grow a little bit better and teams that can. So, you know, we didn't know much about the Blue Jays, but we knew that the front office had a good track record of you know, developing talent. And then on top of that, the way that I hit, I saw, you know, Bautista and Donaldson and all those guys taking big leg kicks and big swings. And, you know, we figured that if that was the case in the big leagues, that they wouldn't mess around with me too much in the minors. So, yeah, I mean, that was just, it was just kind of just looking at the situation and realize that it could be a good fit.
Yeah.
Good. Well, now, where were you going to go to college? Were you going to go to college?
I was Arizona State.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. So actually, if I wasn't picked where I was going to go to college.
Okay. Where'd your dad go to school? Did he go to college out there? Or?
Yeah, Jupiter Community College.
Oh, so he's a Florida boy then.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's cool. But hey, well, you did the right thing. I guarantee. And you know what? The Blue Jays did the right thing. I can guarantee you that. I mean, it's obvious. And, you know, you got a taste of that postseason. It's kind of tough the way it all ended. You know, this year, you know, that with that final game, but that's baseball. You know, it was like that most perfectly placed ball. You know, I couldn't have walked out there, told somebody and dropped it in a better spot in that no man's land, you know? And, but like you said earlier, you guys got a taste of it now. you know, you're only gonna get better and better. And yet now the key is for the front office to hold this team together, and you know, spend that money on you and Vladdy, and you know, I mean, no, that's the game. You know, I see that little smirk, man. That's
lock him up, lock him up.
That's the fact. We'll get it all started right here. But you know, if add those pieces that you need. And you know, of course, Teo got traded to the Blue Jays when I was over there. And I tell you what, Bo, Teo had the easiest power I have ever seen in my life. He get that camp going, you kidding me? And then, you know, he struggled defensively, but then he worked at it, he got better, and you know, he got much, much better and became really good player. And you know, obviously, they Seattle, I mean, it's a great pickup for them. And you guys added some bullpen depth. But when you look at it, we were talking earlier, when you like watch Houston play at the end, right, to win it all. When you see that bullpen, man, you don't want to get into that bullpen. It's like, you talk about some firepower, you know. It's like, so you guys added some new pieces down there, and I think that'll help you. You always got to work on that stuff. You know, that's the one area you got to do every year, you know.
Yeah, no, your man, Teo, like everybody talks about Vladdy's power, and rightfully so, but Teo's right up there with them, and he makes it look easy. You know, I mean, he was huge for us, the big homers in the playoffs, and we'll miss him for sure. But yeah, no, he is he's special for sure.
Dude, your power is right there with him too now. You know what? The thing about Vladdy, you know, I can remember I watched his dad play, right? His dad go up there swinging everything. Remember, he hit them balls and bounced, right? And Vladdy, when he showed up, always had that great strike zone, but he was just a good hitter. You know, like, you're a good hitter. You're not just one of those guys that can go up there and strike out 250 times and you know, hit the home runs. I mean, that's kind of the way the game is a little bit now, but that's what separates you guys. But I can remember watching Vladdy Jr. just firing line drives out there. And that's what you do. Take the knocks the opposite field. That's what the great players do. You know, I mean, you're tough to pitch to. You're tough. That's why you hit your 20-plus home runs and you score 100 runs and you drive in 100. That's another beef of mine, right? You know, the baseball game world nowadays, they say RBIs don't matter, or they're I don't know, you know what the word is, but that's crap. The number one job in this game is to score runs, right? If you're going to win, you got to score runs. You know what? Some guys can drive in runs. Some guys can't. I couldn't do it. I wasn't a very good hitter. And a lot of times it got right here, and then you worry about things. But some guys, there's something to it. And they say, well, it's a byproduct of these guys getting more opportunities. Yeah, certain guys in the middle lineup get more opportunities to do it. It doesn't make it any easier. But you know what? They slow the game down. They relax. They're confident, you know? Where the lesser guy, he can't do it, you know? So anyway, so when I said a shortstop driving in 100 runs, you know, that's Cal Ripken, you know? I mean, that's very few guys can do that, man, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I mean, my dad likes to look just how I was raised, obviously. Like, when I look at production and you know, how many runs do you score? How many hits do you get? How many extra base hits, you know? Like, all the new school stuff is helpful for sure. But, I mean, name of the game is getting runs across the board, and, you know, you got to hit to do that. So, yeah, no, definitely on the same page with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of big games have been won by just a little cheap knock, little senile ball up the middle or whatever it is. You know, that it's not – because I guarantee you nothing good's going to happen when you're dragging that bat back to the dugout. But I will tell you this too. The guys in the game now, man, does everybody throw 100 miles an hour?
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, I think it's gone down a little bit since the ban on the substances, but – yeah, no, I mean, if you're facing a good bullpen, you've got, I mean, if the starter comes out in the fifth, you've got four guys to face that are throwing 100. So yeah, it's definitely like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, I can remember as a kid coming up, if there was like one guy on the staff, like you face a guy and he's throwing like 93, 94, maybe 95 mile an hour, you're going, damn, everybody goes, geez, who's this guy, right? Because everybody else, I think the average was like 89 to 92 or something like that. So that guy really stood out. So now these guys throwing 93, 94 miles an hour, they're like soft tossers. It's like, and that ain't easy, man. You got to, you know what? You got to pull that trigger, man. Guys, hitters nowadays, just athletes in general, be bigger, stronger, and you're better. There's no doubt about it. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, I like your game because, you know what, you'll take your hits the other way. You'll do that. You're not up there just, you know, I might even go, if I saw all I did was swing for a home run, I might hit 20 in a season. But you know what? That's not what the game is. Sometimes you're a complete player. And it's I'm tipping my hat to you because it's fun to watch. And it's good to see. Because your dad was a line drive hitter, if I remember right. He had a lot of line drives. He had a lot of line drive home runs. But he could throw out some line drives, you know?
Yeah, he had a little bit more juice than me. But, yeah, no, but I would say the biggest difference between, I mean, the bullpens now, like a couple years ago when the sticky stuff was at the height, you didn't want to get to the bullpen. And back in, you know, I would say maybe even like 10 years ago, it was like you want to get the starter out because the best pitchers are the starters. And then, you know, you've got your high leverage guys, but you want to get to the middle of that bullpen. I would say it's going back that way a little bit, but yeah. That was the biggest difference that I noticed is you always wanted to get the starter out. And then there was a couple years there where you did not want to, like you, we would have conversations in the dugout. Like we're hitting a guy, we're like, hey, don't hit him too good. You know,
yeah. we want to keep him in there. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Hey, how about your boy Manoah, man? I love him. You know, the big bear, you know, with the what was he saying about Cole in with the Yanks? You don't have to comment on it, but it's like, so I anticipate some really good battles. I know you already have them with the Yankees, but they'll probably be really good in the near future, especially when those two tee up on the same day.
Yeah, he's got no fear for sure. I mean, you know, fear plays a huge part in this game. And, yeah, I mean, he's got what it takes to be special. He's already accomplished so much. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a great guy to play behind. Like when he's on the mound, you know, it's a different energy. It's, you know, but yeah, he's special for sure.
But you know what he's got? He's got what you got. A lot of the mentally tough, right? And confident. You got that heart in there. You know what? You're not going to accept defeat. You're going to grind it out. You're going to bust your butt on it. You know, that's what separates you. And that's why you're better than most. Right. So anyway, but
yeah,
I appreciate.
I think what is special about him is like he knows it's not going to be easy. Even though it looks easy for him, he knows that he has to go out there and he has to compete at the highest level he possibly can, and whatever happens, happens. But I think sometimes we get in trouble thinking it's going to be easy, and, you know, sometimes the game can punch you in the face a little bit. But, yeah, competitive.
Bo, the game's got a way of humbling everybody, man. Lose yet. That's why you're out there now. It's not even January. You're out there working, busting your butt, doing all what got you there, you know. Hey, quick thing on Alex. You know, to promote this show and this stuff, you know, they say you got to get on social media, Instagram and all that crap, right? So I'm on Instagram and something came, a couple pictures came up of Alex, man. He's at a basketball game or something. I don't know where he's buying his clothes at, man. But I thought, but crying out loud. Like a fashion. Is he a fashion monger now too, or what?
Oh yeah, you know how it is. Every flight, he has something new. Wants to look good. So you know, I appreciate that about him, though.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing. We gotta let you go. Hey, how's old Snide doing, man? He's a good one, you know. And I'm glad they're bringing him back. You guys go way back. We're gonna try to get him on the show and let him pick you guys. Nitpick you guys apart, see if we can find out any chinks on you guys, you know. But good guy to play for. It always helps, doesn't it, makes it nice when you get a guy that you had in the minor leagues gets to the big leagues with you?
Yeah, I mean, he worked hard to get there, you know. We went through with him in the minors, and I know that this was something that was a huge goal of his, you know. It's something that he always dreamed of, and so, you know, happy for him to get the job. And you know, we'll just look to try and accomplish what we always talked about. So, you know, it should be fun.
Well, good, man. Well, Johnny, you got anything else?
No, it was a pleasure meeting you and talking to you, and certainly wish you the best for 2023. And we'll be watching. I mean, you're an incredible ball player, and thank you for joining us today.
All righty, guys. Thank you for having me.
Plus, we got to let you go. You probably got round two of your working out to do, don't you? You're going to 2 hours. You're probably going to. Hey, I tip my hat to you, man. Keep it up, pal. We're proud of you. We love watching you play. You, like I said, people go to watch you play, and we appreciate you taking some time to come on the show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, good luck. And remember, if you need an agent, I don't know who you got now, but if he ain't doing the job, I see, because an agent's, when you get players like you, agents, it's easy money, man. What do they got to do? They don't have. So yeah. if you don't like this guy, Give me a call.
All right.
Yeah. All right, Bo. Thanks, right, pal. Man.
Thank you, Bo. We hope you enjoyed the Get to Know Bo interview from the Gibby Show archives. And remember, we'll be returning with all new episodes of the Terry Collins Show during spring training, which will be the beginning of a new era in Mets baseball with all the changes to the team since that disappointing 2025 season. You can check out the entire archives of the Terry Collins Show on your favorite podcast platform or on our YouTube channel. And please remember to hit subscribe and like on the platform of your choice. I want to thank our creative director, Marsh, and a thank you to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation for their presenting sponsorship over the past two seasons. Go to t2t.org to learn more and to donate to this incredible foundation whose mission continues each and every day. This year, we'll commemorate the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy. We ask you to donate just $11 a month by going to t2t.org. For Terry Collins, this is John Arezzi. We'll see you at spring training.